Now we're going to turn in God's Word to a familiar passage in Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and we're going to break into the reading at verse 58. And we know, of course, the story of Abraham, servant, went here to look for a wife for Isaac. And now he's talking about Rebekah and her family at this time. Genesis 24 and verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." Rebekah arose and her damsels and came upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lohairah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. He lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she laid off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into her mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Amen. And the Lord bless that reading to all of our hearts. I'm going to look at verse 63 of this chapter. It says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide." The Apostle Paul, when writing to the church of Corinth concerning the history of the children of Israel, he said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, "Now these things happened unto them for examples." In other words, he was saying here to the people, as you look at the life of the people of Israel, you will learn many lessons. You will learn about from their mistakes. You will learn about their doubts. You will learn about their fears. You will learn about their service for the Lord. As you will look at the people of Israel, that you will learn great lessons. And so it is when we look at the patriarchs of Israel, the spiritual giants of the children of Israel. If you look at Abraham, we can learn about his dedication to God. Because in Genesis 12 verse 1 it says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and get out from your family and from your country." Here's a man was called to leave all for Christ. Leave your family, leave your home, leave your friends, leave your everything, and come out from the country. And here's a man, he heard the call of God, God called him, and you know, he left all for Jesus Christ. I know you and I would be the same, that we'd be dedicated with the same spirit. The Lord may not ask us to leave our family, to leave our home, to leave our country, but nevertheless, all on the altar for Christ. Lord, wherever you lead me, where he may lead me, I will go. May that be a testimony from our heart. May we have the same faith as Abraham. The dedication to God. He left all for Christ. If you look at Jacob, although he was a cheat and a trickster in his early days, after his conversion, you can learn lessons how to live a Christian life, looking at Jacob, about a supplication to the Lord. Because in Genesis 32 and verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." And here we have Jacob, the man of God. This man, he's wrestling with the Lord. He's in the place of prayer. Of course, he has trouble, as he thinks, coming towards him in the shape of his brother Esau, but he's coming aside with God. And he's meeting with God, and he's crying on to God, and he says, "Lord, I will not let thee go except thou bless me." He's holding on to God even in the place of prayer. I know what you and I would learn those lessons, to hold on to God and said, Lord, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. And you can look at Jacob, and we can learn lessons about his supplications to the Lord. And we can look at Joseph. Joseph's a wonderful character in the Bible. You can learn about his sanctification before the Lord. In other words, he was a holy man of God. I'm not saying Abraham was not holy. I'm not saying that Isaac was not holy, or Jacob. But Joseph was certainly a holy man of God. And you can read in Genesis 39 and verse 9, and how he was tempted to sin, and how he turned his back, and how he said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I cannot do such a thing. I cannot commit adultery. I cannot sin against my God, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ that I love. Yes, we can learn about our sanctification before the Lord to keep away from sin. I know what you and I would learn to keep away from sin. Don't go as close, young person, or even older person. Sometimes we say, well, how close can I go towards it? We should really be saying, how far can I get away from sin? Here we have a man. Here we have a man of God. Here we have Joseph. And we can learn about his life. We can learn about Joseph, about his sanctification, and how he ran. And how he ran away from sin. Even though running away got him into trouble, he still kept away from sin. And sometimes, in a sense, maybe keeping away from sin and not going with the crowd and doing certain things, and people will lie against you and say all manner of evil against you. So be it. As long as we do what is right in the sight of the Lord. So we can learn less. We can learn, look at the Isaac, we can learn about his meditation upon the Lord. Because it says here, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. The word meditate means to muse or to think upon. Meditation is something that is hard work. You see, it is very difficult for any one of us to sit still and to think about the things of God. Philip Henry said, it is easier to go 6 miles to hear a sermon than to spend a quarter of an hour in meditating on it when I come home. And this man was only being honest. It was easier to go 6 miles to hear a sermon, and he possibly had no cars, and there was no vehicles in those days. But he says it was much easier for him to travel on horseback or on his feet for 6 miles to listen to a sermon than to sit for 15 minutes after quietly before God thinking about the sermon that he heard. You see, it's hard work meditating. It's a work not only that is hard, it is a work of the heart. You see, in Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, it's a work of the heart. And I said to every child of God, the practice of meditation should play a part in all of our lives, in every one of our lives. Because Paul writing to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15, he says, meditate upon these things. This is what he's saying to Timothy, this young Christian man who was seeking to serve the Lord. He said, Timothy, here's what you've got to do. Meditate upon these things. Think on these things. Think on these things. You can see it's Spurgeon saying about meditating. He said, meditation is a word that most of the half, more than half of you, I fear, do not know how to spell. You know how to repeat the letters of the word. But I mean to say, you can spell it in the reality of life. You do not occupy yourselves with any meditation. And he was saying, you can maybe be able to spell meditation, an outward, the M-E-D and so on, but you know nothing about it in your life. Now that wasn't his days. That was the days of C.H. Spurgeon when he talked about meditating. And said, people, you hardly know how to just spell it in your life. And the wonder, child of God, before we look at this tonight, what do we know about meditating? Here's Isaac. Here, this is written in the Word of God, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And we can learn lessons about meditating here before the Lord. And I want to notice, first of all, the purpose of his meditation. What is the purpose or the point of his meditation? And of course, he was going to get a wife, and I sure crossed his mind in some shape or form. He probably knew what was up, and he's probably looking, of course, to see what was coming over the mountain and who would be brought back. But that was not the case when he went out to meditate. Of course. The sole purpose of his meditation, no doubt, was to do with God. This is the first time this word meditate is mentioned in the Bible. Now, it's a very important word, this word meditate, that we find in the Scriptures. And if you follow this word throughout the Word of God, you will find that this meditate, or this meditation, is taking you up with Christ and taking you up with the things for God, things of God, meditating upon the things of God. Take for instance Psalm 143 and verse 5. He says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. And here's the psalmist musing this word and what he was going to do. He says, I will meditate, Lord, on all of thy works. I will muse on the work of thy hands. He's going to meditate on the things of God. And then, no doubt here Isaac went out. And he meditated. And what? He meditated on the things of God. And no doubt he meditated about the creation of God. The wonder of creation. The work of creation. As he lifted up his eyes and saw the beauty of creation all around him, I have no doubt in his heart he thought of God. Because Psalm 77 verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work. And he would have meditated on the greatness of his God. On the very witness of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And I have no doubt, as he walked in the field here, he was taken up with God. He was taken up with the creation of God as he saw the sky, the gentle breeze blowing before him, his eyes fell, and all of these things. He was filled with wonder. His heart was filled with praise. But my God had made it all. He was meditating, no doubt, about the creation of God. People will tell you, as they walk around the Moor Mountains, they're taken up with the greatness of God. I'm sure every one of us has been up on the mountains, down round by the seashore, and no doubt we always marvel, and we look over it, and we think, oh Lord, how great thou art. We see the wonder of it, and we see the work of creation, and we think how the Lord had made it all in 6 days. We think of the witness of creation. And here's this man, he went out to meditate, and he's meditating, no doubt, about the Lord, the creation of God, would have came. The communication of God as well would have came before him. Now we know in the days of Isaac, there had no written word. You and I are privileged people today. We have the Bible, and we probably haven't just got one Bible. Your house is probably coming down with copies of the Scriptures. But in the days of Isaac, he did not have the written word of God. They had the spoken word. And the Lord had spoken to his father. And the Lord had given Isaac's father great promises. You take for Genesis 12 and verse 2. God is speaking unto Abraham here, his father, at one time. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And God is coming to his father here, Abraham, and says here, I will bless thee, I'll make you a great nation. In Genesis 17, verse 7 and 8, and God again, the communication coming on to his father, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And God has said, I'm going to establish this covenant. And it's going to be between thee and thy seed. This is going to do with Isaac. And I will give unto him, even he goes on to talk about the land wherein thou art a stranger. And I have no doubt Isaac heard all of these things, all of these promises. He would have been told them by his father. God says, he's going to bless me. He's going to make me a great nation. God says, he's going to bless my seed, son. That includes you. God says he's going to give me this land, the land of promise, you see. And I have no doubt he would have meditated. He would have meditated upon the promises, the word that God had spoken unto him. You see, he meditated upon the communication of the Lord. And you follow that theme in the Bible, you will find others, and they're meditating upon the word of the Lord. You see, in Psalm 1 and verse 2, what is the light talking about the blessed man? Why was he a blessed man? Well, it tells us why. What is the light is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. In Psalm 119, verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I may meditate in thy word. And in the book of Joshua 1 and verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And it talks here about these men who had the word of God and the law of God, and it says that they were meditating, they were thinking, they were musing over the word of the living God, you see. And I have no doubt Isaac went out to meditate. He thought of what God had said. He thought of the promises, how God would bless his father's house and bless his seed and bless him with promises and bless him even with the land and bless him with the seed that would run right to Christ. You see, he thought about the communication of the Lord. And I ask you a question tonight. Do you meditate upon the word of God? That's a very simple question. I wonder if I put a form around tonight and tick a box. Do you meditate upon the word of God? Do you sit down and think about it? What you've read and all that. I'm talking about seriously thinking about it. Would you take yes or no? I'm not asking you, do you listen to the word of God? Because I know you do come to listen. You come to church. I'm not asking you, do you read the Bible? I hope everyone here has times that you sit and you read the Word of God on a regular basis. That is what God has given this book. We should read the Word of God, love the Word of God with all our heart. But I'm asking you tonight, do you meditate upon the Word of God? Do you think upon this book? Do you think of what God has tells us in His Word? Do you think about His laws that He has given us? Do you think about His great promises that's in the Bible? What about the gospel of Christ? What about the prophecies in the Bible? Listen, do we meditate upon the Word of God? Do we? We read of David meditating upon the Lord. We read of Joshua meditating upon. We read here of Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, thinking about the communication of the Lord. And God has blessed you and I, child of God, tonight. He has blessed us with the Bible, the living word of the living God. Well, do you meditate upon the Bible? Remember at the beginning of the introduction, which Spurgeon says some people hardly know how to spell it. And he's really talking about spelling it out in your life. Why? Because they don't do it. They don't get alone with God and think upon His word. But we are, you see. And the meditation here, communication of the Lord. No doubt, Isaac thought of the promises. And you and Isaac should sit down with God's book and think of the promises. And think of what God has, how God has blessed us, how He has forgiven us our sins, how one day Christ will come and take us home to heaven. All these things are in the Bible. All these things are in the book. Do we think upon them? We should meditate upon them. And no doubt he meditated upon the Christ of God. And no doubt Christ was in his thoughts. The coming of Christ. He thought that day when the Savior of the world will come into this world to be a Savior. The crucifixion of Christ would have came before his mind, because in a typical fashion, remember Abraham took him up there upon the Mount Moriah to offer him as a burnt offering. He would have remembered on that day how he was bound by his father, how he was led upon the altar. How his father lifted up that knife about to plunge it into him to kill him. A voice from heaven says, do thy son no harm. Do the lad no harm. He remembered all that. How they got the ram in the bushes. And his father got the ram. The ram was put to death in this place. All a picture of Christ. All a picture of Christ coming and dying for sinners. And dying in his place. And shedding his blood. Oh, he would have thought. He would have thought he meditated. He would have thought of Christ, like the coming one, who would die for sinners, who would die for him. And no doubt these things were in his mind. As he, there he is. Here he is, this man. And he's meditating. The Bible says this is what he's doing. This is what he's doing. And we're trying to get all, what's this man doing out in the field? Well, we're thinking about the things that others have meditated upon. No doubt these were things that came into his heart and into his mind. And I even meditated about the compassion of Christ. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how Christ loves me, you see. A guilty wretch like me. Oh, how he loves me. You see, his meditation would have been in Christ. In Psalm 63, verse 6, when I remember thee, In Psalm 104, verse 34, my meditation of him. You see, of him, not as Christ, you see. Thinking of Christ. Thinking about his love. Thinking about how he died upon the cross. Thinking about all of his love and all of his mercy. All of these things. See, he went out to meditate. And child of God, I would say to you tonight, there should be this meditation in your heart and your life. To think of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he came into this world and bled and died for you and I were only guilty sinners, every one of us. And yet he loved us with a great love. And how he died for us and put away our sin and the very promises he has made. And he's coming to take us home to heaven and he's given us everlasting life. He is blessed, oh, that we would think of Christ. Sometimes we do not take time to think of him at all. I ask you, if you stop the day in the business of life, have you stopped to think of Christ? Have you stopped really seriously to think of his love, his mercy that you have received? Have you stopped seriously to consider the word of God that you have read today? You see, this is the purpose of meditation. And here's this man that tells us here, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. Oh, that you and I would have this practice of meditation. Sitting and thinking of God. Thinking of Christ. Thinking of his love. Thinking of his promises. Thinking of his mercy. That you and I would have all of these things. That's the purpose of meditation. It talks about the place of his meditation. You see here the place in Isaac went out to meditate in the field. You see, the location here for his meditation, it was in the field. And that's a very simple and a very important lesson. He was going to think of the Lord, going to think of his word, going to think of Christ, going to think of his great love. And where did he go to think of all of this? Did he go into the temple? The temple wasn't even built. But he was in a field. He was just in a field. But he could think of God. You know, when you read the Bible, you'll read that one in Psalm 63 and verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Now, here is this man Isaac. He's going to think of God. He's going to meditate. And he goes out into a very, very simple place. He goes out into the field. Just out in the field to meet with God and to meditate upon the Lord. And we read in the psalmist, he says, well, he's going to do it as he lies upon his bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. It's a location for the meditation. Well, let me say this, here's something to do anywhere. You can go out into the field if there's a field beside you. Go out into your garden if you so desire. You can go up onto the mountains of Moher. You can go down to the seaside. If that's the case, you can think of the Lord as you even would travel in your car, as you would make a journey. You can switch off the radio or switch off whatever music is going on and think of God as you make your journey. You can sit down in some room in your home and you can meditate upon the Lord, even on your bed at night. Sometimes we complain, I haven't really slept well last night. But you know, sometimes maybe the Lord's speaking to us. You can pray, can't you? As you're lying awake, well, use it wisely. And meditate upon the Lord. And this was the very place, the occasion for his meditation. It was just in the field. Just in the field, you see. Think of the separation for his meditation here as well. With the so it says, verse 63, he went out. And here's a man, you see, he's going to think upon the Lord. He's going to meditate. And it tells us here that he went out. And there was he had to leave his family that were there. And there were the friends and there were the flocks. He had to get alone with God for this time of meditation. And there would have been many distractions all around him, with all the servants and all the people and all the animals, all of these things. Listen, he had to go out. He had to go out, you see. And this was a separation for this meditation upon the Lord. You see, here's a great lesson. He had to get alone with God. He had to get alone with God. It's not here that he says to two or three other people, you come with me. That would have distracted him totally. That would distract you. It says, Bob Dustin says, we'll all go out and meditate upon the Lord. And you'll be sitting, and then you'll be looking at him. You say, well, I wonder what he's thinking about. And he'll be looking at you, but what is he thinking about? You're not aware how your mind will work. And then a woman falls asleep, you say, well, I wonder what he was thinking about. It's not right. Well, that's the way I could go maybe here tonight. Well, he went alone. You see, he went alone. He got alone with God. It was just separation for his meditation. And you can think of Christ. And we know in Matthew 6 and verse 6, he says, and when thy prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which saith in secret shall reward thee openly. What's he telling us here? To get alone with the Father in heaven. To get alone with him. To close out everything. Of course, there's time for family prayers. There's time for public prayers. There's times we can come together. We can seek God's face. But here is something, this meditation, we are to do it alone. This is you and God. This is you and God meeting together alone, you see. Taking time to be holy. And I asked you the question, and I picture myself here with a sermon. Do you ever sit alone with the Lord? Do you ever? Just the Lord and the Bible open. Not rushing through the Bible 100 miles an hour reading a passage. But do you ever sit just you and the Lord alone with the Bible? And thinking upon the Word of God. And thinking upon Christ. And getting away from every... See, this is what Isaac's doing. He says, he went out. He removed all distractions and everything that would hinder him. He went out. And if you and I are to do this, there's time, understand that God, go away from people, go away from our family, get away from this distraction, that distraction. And you can go into your room, into your closet, into your bedroom, wherever the case may be, but listen, getting alone with God. Just you and the Lord. Be still, my soul. Be still and know that I am God, the Bible says. I think of the determination in going to this place for meditation. It says he went out. Isaac went out. You can see him. He's going out. And you see, nothing's going to hinder him from this practice of meditation. It was not that his father Abraham ordered him out of the house. It says, Isaac, get you out into that field and meditate upon the things of God. No, you see, this desire, this determination, his heart, that he was going out to meet with God. He was making the time to do it. And Isaac, look at the text, he went out, just Isaac went out to meditate. Isaac went out to think upon God. Isaac went out to meet with the Lord. And it's this determination in his heart, he's going out to think upon God. Take time to be holy. You've got to be determined to do this. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate in my precepts. But notice the determination. I will meditate in my precepts. Lord, he's determined he's going to do this. He's not going to get somebody to do this for him. He said, nobody else to do this for him. He had to go out here himself to meditate. And he's determined that nothing's going to stop. And I said to all of us tonight, take this time to meditate upon the Lord. Let nothing prevent it. Have that quiet time of prayer, of course. Have that quiet time of reading the Bible. But remember to have that time of meditation, thinking upon what you've read and the promise of God and the Word of the living God, and let nothing prevent it. You see, this was the place of his meditation in the field. In the field. If I drive past your house one of these days and I see you out in the field, I probably says, well, I know what you're doing. You probably the sermon is hit home in your heart. So, but nevertheless, take time. He went out. He went out to meditate and to think upon the Lord. Can I say a last thing quickly about the period of his meditation? It says he went out to meditate in the field, and notice at eventide. At eventide. This was at the end of the day. In the evenings after a hard day's work, the night is fast approaching. Well, he goes out at eventide. He's going out at the end of the day. He goes out to meditate upon the things of God. And they say, what a way to spend your evening. Do you know what a way it is to end your day? What a wonderful way to end your day. He went out to meditate in the field at eventide. I'm not saying, I'm being a hypocrite, but don't sit down with your family at night. Or don't watch any particular program on their TV at night. But some people do nothing else. They do nothing else, only sit in front of the TV all night. But Isaac, you see, there's no TVs we know, of course. He went out to meet with God. He went out to meet with him, you see. And I say to every one of us here, what a way to finish your night. Thinking upon the Lord. In Psalm 119, verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. In Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Now, of course, you only have to do this at night. And a good way at the end of the night, by the way, is to think of God and to meditate upon the things of God. But here's how he says, I'm going to do it all the day, in the morning, the afternoon, and evening, or night, whatever the case may be. You see, at any time, when you have got the time, you can come aside and you can meet with the Lord. As I say, it's a great way to end the day. Here he is, went out to meditate in the field at eventide. Just that quiet time with you and the Lord. Just two of us at the end of the day. What a way at the end of the day. Here he is, this man. Here he is out in the field. Just him and the Lord out, and he's thinking of the things of God. Can I say lastly about the profit of his meditation? I want to think of the pleasure of this meditation. You see, in Psalm 104, verse 34, it says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. I have no doubt. As this man was out thinking of Christ, and thinking of the Lord, his love, his mercy, the gift of eternal life, thinking about the great future that he would have, and the children of Israel, thinking about how his soul was saved, how he had everlasting life, and one day he will be in heaven. I will think the pleasure of this in this man's heart. Turns his mind upon Christ's love, promises, the glory that would come. You see, I will be glad in the Lord. It brought pleasure to him. You know, child of God, if you and I would just stop, even when trouble comes and problem comes into our lives, and we spend all day, every day to the problem solved, don't we? It takes over our whole heart, takes over our whole life. It can take over the whole family when problems come. We're always thinking about that. But you know, if we put the problem out and put Christ in instead, your meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. It was a great pleasure that it brought to this man as he meditated upon the Lord. And child of God, it will bring great pleasure and joy to your heart. And the profit of his meditation, of course, also, Joshua talks about that. The Lord said unto Joshua, that I shall meditate therein day and night, that I may observe to do all according that is written therein, for then I shall make thy way prosperous. You know, the profit of it all. Isaac lost nothing. He lost nothing by taking time to meditate upon the Lord. You don't have to read on down. If you meditate, and the Lord brought his partner along to him, his wife. He could have said, Lord, I've no time to think about you. You better go and look for a wife. But he didn't. He put the Lord first. He says, Lord, I'm going to think upon thee. Of course, God looked after him. There's a great profit in it all. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And God will really bless the man, the woman, the young person who meditates upon the things of God. He will bless you. There's great blessings in just meditating upon the word and the things of our God. Just sitting still, just getting alone with God. There's great blessings. The story is told about Henry Ford, and he hired an expert to evaluate his company. He wanted to see could he cut the costs down anywhere. After a few weeks, this expert, as he went round upon his business, his factories, and so on, he came back to him and he says, everything seems to be right but for one thing. What's that, says Henry Ford? He says, it's that man down the hall. He says, every time I go past his office, he's just sitting there with his feet on his desk. He's wasting your money. Every time I go down, there he is, he's sitting with his feet up on the desk. Every time I pass. And Henry Ford looked at him and says, that man, he said, once had an idea that saved us millions of pounds. At the time, I believe his feet were planted right where they are now. Well, that's just solved the problem, isn't it? They put his feet up on the desk. I'm not suggesting any steward at work get a sack. He said, I think that's where he had the feet planted. He may have had the feet up, but he had the mind in gear. You know, he was thinking. There's a great profit in meditating upon the things of God. Oh, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. I know that you and I will be such people. Take time to be holy. Take time with God. The world's rushing on you. And live for Christ. And follow Him every day. And it's a great blessing for us if we do it and live for Christ. May God write this word.